IB Nation, welcome back to another edition of the Irish Breakdown Podcast. Today, we are going to be talking about keys to victory. And then at the end, we're going to talk about our score predictions. The national championship is now only a couple days away. And if you guys have seen it on social media, the boys are already down in Atlanta. And they're doing their media days. They got a warm welcome. There was a lot of photo shoots that were being done. So if you're anything like me, you've been following it to a T because you're just counting down the literal seconds until Monday night at 7:30. So we are here. Brian's battling through. I mean, he's hanging in there because we still pod like champions here at Irish Breakdown. But there's too much that we still have to talk about, and there's so many exciting things to cover before we get to this national championship here. And from what I've seen on the boards and from what I've seen on social media, everybody is excited, right? I mean, this is not going to call it a once-in-a-lifetime experience because I believe that Notre Dame is going to reach this stage multiple times under Marcus Freeman, but it's something that we haven't seen Notre Dame do and compete at this level since 2012. And if you guys are anything like me, I'm excited. I'm done with the waiting. It's nice that we have a little bit of extra time because there is still some things that we do have to cover, but man, I can already see it. Monday is going to be a very, very long day just waiting around for this game to get kicked off, man. So Brian, I know I kind of have a feeling of how it is, but how you doing today, brother?
Well, I'm doing very well in regard to my excitement level for this game. I'm not doing very well as far as how my body is doing right now. I'm still battling this cold, and each day I keep thinking, okay, today is the day I start feeling better. And so far each day I felt worse. But I was like, there's no way I can cancel a show 2 days in a row. So I got to suck it up, get out there, you know, rule number 76, no excuses, play like a champion, right? Got to battle. And honestly, folks, just so you understand, that's why we're switching the bicep hold till tomorrow. There was no way I was going to be able to do a bicep hold today. This show's a little bit shorter, and it'll be a little easier to kind of power through. But I also missed y'all. I missed y'all yesterday, man. I missed everybody. And sitting at home, every time I try to work, I get a little dizzy and I have to lay down. It's ridiculous, man. I'm like, dude, this is crazy. But nothing's going to keep you down for too long, man, because we got this Notre Dame Ohio State game coming up here in 2 days, and it's a big one. It's a big one, obviously. And you know, excited to find out what this team is going to be. Like you said, there is a once in a lifetime type of thing about this game, though, Trev, because it is the first. You know, like if Notre Dame's back in the title game next year, then the year after that, obviously those are great opportunities, but it's still not the first. You know, it's the first 12-team playoff. This is the first time that, you know, this stage has been set the way that it is. And Notre Dame is here. And it's just, you couldn't ask for anything better. You know, for as a Notre Dame fan, for the first year you're in the college football playoff, the 12-team playoff, you're in it. You get a home game against your in-state rival. You win that. You got to go down to the Sugar Bowl, play Georgia in their backyard, you know, where the SEC title game used to be for a long time. Get that win, kind of slay that dragon, kill that New Year's Six. Haven't won New Year's Six in X amount of. Now it's like, man, it's like Notre Dame hasn't won a New Year's Six bowl in 9 days. What's going on with this program? You know what I mean? And you know, you go 30 years with no New Year's Six titles. Now you've major bowl titles, I guess, is what you should say, because they're not really only one of them's on New Year's anymore. But you've won two major bowls in the last, you know, 18 days, and you get another opportunity to win your first championship since 1988. And it's been a fun season, and you know, it's been a great ride, and it's going to come to a close on Monday night. Regardless of outcome, the season comes to a close on Monday night. Then we're going to find out if this team's got one more in them, or if they're just going to fall short. But I'm excited about it. I love this matchup, Trev. We're going to dive into keys to victory here in a minute, and we'll start with some big picture ones, go offense and then defense, and then of course we'll have our prediction show. But I'm just excited to enjoy. I may not look like it, I may not sound like it, but I am very excited about this opportunity that's in front of Notre Dame and being a part of it and the part that we have. Trev, you know, I know Here Come the Irish is on the other day, and you were on there. Your voice was on there, so that was a pretty cool deal. So excited about that. But, you know, we're going to find out what this team is truly made of on Monday night. But no matter the outcome, both of these teams have a lot to be proud of. Both of these teams have had to overcome some major adversity this season, not just, you know, bad losses, but also key injuries. And at the end of the day, these were the two best teams of college football, and these the two best teams of college football did what they needed to do to get here. And now we're going to find out who the best team in college football is.
The thing that makes me the most excited for this matchup on Monday is it's guaranteed, right? And Marcus Freeman talks all the time about taking advantage of guaranteed opportunities. In the regular season, you have 12, and then you just keep working your way along in the postseason. But you're right. I mean, I've seen some people talk about it in the chat. I saw Salty Virginia Peanuts talk about it, and it's, you know, Brian, you brought it up and said it perfectly, that it's, you know, Notre Dame could make the next couple national championships. But I think it's fitting when you look back at the first four-team national championship. The first part of the season for Notre Dame looked super promising that they were going to be a part of it, and then it kind of tailed off at the end, and obviously we know how the rest of 2014 went. But now with this being the first 12-team playoff, I think the thing that I love the most is it is guaranteed. Right? No matter what happens between now and Monday, we know that Notre Dame is going to be a part of the national championship against Ohio State, which I think just brings so much optimism. I mean, this is, as far as my Notre Dame fandom, I think across the board, this has been majority the most positive that I've seen it since I've been a fan the way sure. that I've been. And so those are the things that you love. And you start seeing other people coming out of the woodworks of, hey, listen, like Notre Dame, being a Notre Dame fan, depending on where you lived, you didn't talk about it a lot. You didn't wear the merchandise a lot. You didn't rep the Irish logo a lot. Now people are out wearing it proudly. And that's something that I love to hear and I love to see. I posted something on the board today talking about, you know, just why everybody became a Notre Dame fan. And if you guys aren't a part of the premium message boards, one, definitely make sure you go to boards.irishbreakdown.com and subscribe to the premium message boards. Mm-hmm. But two, it was awesome to see what everybody said and how many family ties go back to it and how, you know, sometimes I think people take being a sports fan for granted because, you know, to some people it's, oh, it's just a game. But it's so exciting to see, hey, like, you know, my grandfather came over and did this and my family did this and we were a part of this. So definitely go check out that thread if you haven't seen it yet, because it's, you hear some really, really cool stories on there. But all of that aside, Brian, we got a game, we got a preview, and we got some keys to victory that we have to talk about, right? So, to your point, we're going to start it off overall, unless you had something real
quick. No, I wanted to just kind of say one thing as before we get into the specific keys after you've introed it. So,
yeah, absolutely. So, what we're going to do is we're going to talk overall team keys to victory, what you have to see encompassing from all three phases, offense, defense, special teams. And that's where we're going to start with today's show, Brian. So before we get to your first point, what do you got for us, man?
Yeah, I think the big thing about this game, and this is something that I hope the Notre Dame team has told itself over this last week, is don't listen to the hype about this game, about how Notre Dame has to play out of their minds, how they have to play their best game possible. They better hope that Ohio State does this wrong, that they hope that Ohio State does that wrong. Look, it's a game where you have got to respect your opponent, but also respect yourself and know who you are. And one thing that I've said since the beginning of this matchup being announced is this is not a game where Notre Dame has to play outside of their minds. They don't have to play. It doesn't have to be this out-of-body experience where, wow, I didn't know I could play like that. It doesn't have to be this monumental, you know, 0-2. Like, I keep hearing, like, this is like 0-2 Miami, Ohio State all over again, except we're Ohio State, and I'm like, hold on a second, they're not Miami, right? I mean, this is a heck of a football team. But and Ohio State is a heck of a football team. Notre Dame's a heck of a football team. This is not some mismatch where you're just lucky to stay in the football game. You've just got to understand, be who you are. My concern, if I'm Marcus Freeman, if I'm, you know, Mike Denbrock, if I'm Al Golden, Mike Mickens, Joe Rudolph, it's, hey, guys, you don't need to play out of your minds. You don't got to try to be something you're not. Play your game. Be yourself. Do what you do. If you play in this game the way you have all season, when you've been at your best, you are the better football team, in my opinion. If you don't, there are some things about Ohio State that could expose you, that could get you beat, that could result in you not being able to win this football game. But play your game, be who you are, and you're going to get that W. That's what they need to tell themselves. That's right. And Marcus Freeman has done a great job all season of basically saying it's not about the opponent. It's about you. And that shouldn't change for this game. You got to be who you are. What are you going to do differently coverage-wise? I'm like, you're not going to do something different coverage-wise outside of just normal. You're prepping for a big game, or you're prepping for an opponent that does A, B, C, and D. You've got to make sure that your game plan to handle A, B, C, and D. But you don't go into this like, oh, well, you know, we're 14-1 and we got the number three pass defense in the country, but, you know, let's completely change our coverage structure, you know, because we're, that's how you get beat. That's how you get yourself beat. And you're going to have to play, be who you are. And if that's good enough to win, then that's good enough to win. If it's not, you're, cause like, if you do something that you're not, you're guaranteeing that you're going to lose this football game. Right. And this notion that Notre Dame just comes out and plays like 99% man coverage and cover one, cover zero. That's never been who Notre Dame has been. And that's why Notre Dame safeties have combined for what, like 9 interceptions this season. Right. So you got to be who you are. Play your game. That's the key. And if you're Ohio State, you're telling them the same exact thing on their side. But like, this, the difference is this is the first time I've seen a Notre Dame fan, or as a Notre Dame fan, on this stage, really, since Lou Holtz's coach, where you felt like they don't have to play out of their minds to win this football game. This is not 05 Notre Dame against 05 USC, right? That's not what this game is. It's got to play their game. And that's what a lot of these keys to victory will be about. It's not about, you know, boy, you better hope you do this, you do that. It's about, man, just play your game. Notre Dame, play your game. Be who you are. Do what got you here.
The stakes are at an all-time high, right? But the manner in how they conduct themselves in mental and physical preparation is the same. You lose, you're done. And they've been having that mentality since they lost to Northern Illinois at home on September 7th. And I think that's one of the things that helped propel them through the postseason, right? Now you have a great challenge in front of you to play and compete and beat a very talented Ohio State football team that has probably been the hottest team in the postseason, right? I don't really know there's any debating that, but no, I'm with you, man. Notre Dame doesn't have to play this angels in the outfield type game to even have a shot at winning. You know what I mean? So what we're going to do today, guys, is we're going to dive into what those keys are. Brian, get us started, man. Keys to a team victory. What do you need to see, point number one, from this football team in the national championship?
A big key in this game, Trevor, is going to be winning the first quarter. And there's a lot of different ways you can win the first quarter. It doesn't even mean you've got to score more points than Ohio State. It just means when the first quarter is over, it's either got to be a tied ball game, you have a lead, or it's 7-3, 3-0, something like that. When you look at what Ohio State has done this year in games where they've really impressed their, or, you know, kind of dominated their opponents, you look at the first two playoff games, they dominate the first quarter. I mean, absolutely dominate the first quarter. And that's when this team is really dangerous, is when they dominate the first quarter. I mean, you saw that against Tennessee. Trev, that game was over by the end of the first quarter. I mean, it was over by the end of the first quarter. 21-0 at the end of the first quarter. The ball game was over. You know, it was 14-0 at the end of the first quarter against Oregon. And you're just like, they scored on three of their first possessions. And you're just like, if Oregon doesn't do something here real quick, this game's going to be over. They punted. Ohio State went down, got a field goal, 17-0. Turned it over on downs. Ohio State went down and got touched. It's over. But it all started in the first quarter because they put Oregon behind the eight ball in that first quarter by getting 14 points and then making stops. And so when you look at this team as a whole, and this is why we put this here, not, you know, offense or defense or special teams, but you put it here, it's like you got to weather that storm, because if you look at some of the games where Ohio State has either lost or the game has been really tight the last couple years, almost all the time when that happens, Ohio State does not dominate the first quarter. You know, you look at just kind of this season, for example, you look at the Oregon game. Ohio State loses that game by a point. They had a lead at the end of the first quarter, but it was only 7-6, you know, and it would have been 7-7 if, you know, Oregon, you know, you know how they are. But, you know, you go into halftime and you're up 22-21 of Ohio State. Now, they're a good third quarter team, but so is Notre Dame. You got to weather that early storm. I mean, you look at the Michigan game. Ohio State only had a 3-0 lead at the end of the first quarter. You know, and then Michigan comes down, takes and Michigan was driving. Ohio State was driving in that, you know, or Michigan was driving like early. They weren't getting points, but you could see like, hey, look, this team is battling. They're playing hard. You know, Ohio State got their drive, and then you had some fortunate turnovers. You're not going to win. You know, you don't need to do that. You got a 2-yard drive. You got to score. I mean, Michigan caught some breaks in that game, but you could see early on that they were, you know, they were there to go toe to toe with Michigan. You look at the Michigan game last year, Trev, and a game that Ohio State lost 30-24. It was 7-3 Michigan at the end of the first quarter. It's 14-10 Michigan at the end of the first half. You look at the game last year against Missouri. Yeah, Missouri was down in the end of the first quarter, down at halftime, but it's only 3-0. You know, they held that offense in check. And you look at the Penn State game this year. Now, again, that's a game that Ohio State won, but it's not a game that they ran that team off the field. It actually, Penn State jumps out to a 10-0 lead. It's 10-7 at the end of the game. You know, and then that's why Penn State had multiple opportunities to tie that ball game up, just couldn't get it done. You know, have the interception in the end zone, turnover on downs inside the five. You know, Nebraska game, Ohio State scores first. You get a big post route touchdown by Carnell Tate. And, but, you know, that you get a field, Nebraska gets a field goal at 7-3. Ohio State goes down and gets a touchdown. Nebraska answers the field goal. Yeah, they're down at halftime, but it's 14-6. You're in striking distance. And that's going to be a big key for this team is all phases of the game, you got to come out of the gate hot. And as we talked about earlier in the week, you know, this is a Notre Dame team, Trev, that you're facing a team that has scored, was it 42 points in the first quarter of their three games?
In the postseason, yeah.
14. Going against a defense that has yet to allow a point in the first quarter. Mm-hmm. Something's got to give, right? And hopefully it's Ohio State. But the other part of it is the Notre Dame offense has struggled in the first quarter of games as well. And that's something that Notre Dame is going to have to do a better job of, Trev, is early in the season, they were pretty decent at that. But so far this season, they have not done well in the first quarter. They didn't score a point in the first quarter against Penn State. They didn't score a point in the first quarter against Georgia. They did get a touchdown against Indiana and were driving for their second touchdown when the first quarter ended. So they had the ball and then scored in the second quarter. But it's got to look more like Indiana than it does the other one, because it's asking a lot of your defense to hold Ohio State to 3-6 points in the first half. It's asking a lot until your offense figures it out. So all three phases of the game have to contribute to this trip, but you've got to win. You've got to win the first quarter, you got to go into quarter two and you got to go into halftime with it being a ball game. You know, how Ohio State dominates is when they jump all over you early and they get you out of your game, and that's when their defense just can really dominate and really whip you. And then you've got to try to start doing things off defensively to try to create stops, get yourself out of your game, and that's how they put you away with big plays. Got to play your game, and you've got to win that first quarter.
Yeah, what both of these teams have done a really good job of this season is they've proven that they're two very hard teams to come back on, right? You look at what Notre Dame has done. I mean, up until the Penn State game, they had not been down at halftime since Northern Illinois, right? So we're talking about 11 consecutive games where Notre Dame had the lead going into halftime. So it just goes to show you that this is a team that once they get a lead on people, it's really difficult for them to come back. Now, they haven't faced an offense with as much firepower as an Ohio State offense, and if there's going to be one that has the most potential, it would be them, right?
Since playing last year's Ohio State offense.
Honestly, yeah. And so you go through and you look at what that means for Notre Dame's defense, but to me, this comes down to complementary football. I think you said it best, is that their offense has scored a touchdown in one first quarter in the entire postseason, opposed to Ohio State is outscoring their opponents in the first quarter. It's either 42-0 or like 42-7. I don't know what the outscoring is. I know Tennessee didn't score any. I think they outscored Oregon 14-0 in the first, and I think they outscored Texas 7-0 in the first. So they've outscored their opponents 42-0. So since we're talking about this as an overall team goal, not only is their offense rolled, their defense is in the same boat as Notre Dame's.
Right.
They have not
allowed points. These have been two elite early game defenses.
Yeah.
Early game defenses. And a lot of those games that I talked about, Trevor, it's not like Michigan. It's not like Ohio State falls behind 10-0, 14-0 because their defense is getting ripped.
Right.
Penn State game, they fell behind 10-0. It's because Penn State had a pick six.
Yeah.
Not because their defense gave up points.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, but you've got to weather that storm. Part of that's your offense, put some drives together. You know, part of it's your defense, get stops. Part of it's your special teams, make some plays. You know, and all phases have to be ready for that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's a good tie-in to what the overall second point is, right? We're talking about complementary football and what both sides of the ball need to do. There's been a lot of talk about what Notre Dame is going to do on defense, right? Is it going to be man or zone? And those are things that we've addressed. Right. There's things that we're going to dive into later of what the offense needs to do. But Brian, I think all this kind of leads into what your second key to victory is for the team. So walk us through that. Where does this team have to be for your key number two?
I mean, this isn't one we need to spend a lot of time on because it's very similar to what we talked about early. It's be the aggressor. Don't let Ohio State dictate the tempo of this game, right? Don't come out and play coach scared or play scared like this is the better team. If you do that, you're going to get beat. That's exactly what Ohio State wants you to do. They want you to come out and get out of your game because you're worried about this, you're worried about that, you're afraid of this, you're afraid of that. So you change who you are. Come out and be the aggressor, set the tempo. What does that mean? It means come out and just be physical as heck. Just pads got to be popping big time. Because you know the Ohio State defense is going to be playing that way. You know they're going to come out with pads popping on their defense. You got to answer right back. You got to punch them right back in the mouth, figuratively speaking. You know, you've got to be the more physical football team. And I felt like against Penn State, it's not that Penn State was necessarily, you know, like wow, they're just kicking Notre Dame's butt. But it was just they were definitely the more physical football team than Notre Dame was in the first half. Well, what changed the game a little bit? Second half, they completely flipped the script on that. They came out second half and ran it all over Penn State. That 101 rushing yards. Like, you look, this is where, as we say, sometimes, you know, stats can be a little bit misleading. So when you look at an end of the game stat, I think they ended up finishing like, what, 117 yards rushing against Penn State?
Yeah.
Not a very good performance. 101 of those came in the last two quarters. And it was a lot about physicality. You know, Penn State ran for 141 yards against Notre Dame the first half. They went for more yards than Notre Dame's given up all season on the ground in the first half. What happened in the third quarter? They went for -3. And a lot of that just came down because Notre Dame just came out flying around, hitting, popping, being the aggressor, going right at Penn State's defense, you know, being willing to take some shots down the field, defensively crashing your linebackers, you know, just getting back to who you are. And they set the tempo in that game, and that's going to be a big part of it. You've got to be the aggressor. You've got to set the tone. Don't let Ohio State dictate how this game gets played. When they do that, they're hard to beat.
Defense comes flying around like they did out the gate, like they did against Georgia. Yeah, I mean, I think that's what kind of calmed the nerves of a lot of people when they watched the defense fly around against Georgia. At least it did for me, right? I mean, what? Georgia had three consecutive negative plays until back-to-back running into the kicker penalties, right? And so defense has to come out looking like that, right? Offense, I mean – we all know what the first key is going to be once we get to the offensive side of the ball, but it has to be all of that and more. You know what I mean? So absolutely. Be the aggressor, offense, defense, special teams, even. I mean, not saying open up the game if you receive the opening kickoff with a reverse for, you know, nothing that way. But
I mean, if it's there, sure, but that's not what we're talking. We're not talking about gimmicky stuff.
Right.
This is who Notre Dame has been. Because, Trev, when Notre Dame comes out playing passively, we saw that in September. And people say, you know, what is the biggest changes that Marcus Freeman has made? That right there.
Yeah.
He stopped allowing the other team to dictate the terms of, you know, of the battle, so to speak. You know, I think of the comments he made before Northern Illinois and how pissed we were about those. And then he came out and did the same thing against Miami of Ohio 2 weeks later. You know, they force you to be with them. No, Miami of Ohio should not force you to do anything. But I think that mindset has changed really coming out. And really started against Louisville. But especially coming out of the break, this was a far more aggressive football team in all phases. And that's got to continue today. That's what really caused this team to roll, is they didn't come out scared. They didn't come out like feeling their oats, so to speak, feeling their way. And they came out and they dictated terms with physicality, you know, with execution and really taking it to their opponent. And that's going to be a big key in this one.
The final key that we had down, Brian, and this one's pretty self-explanatory, right, as well, but it's win the turnover battle. You know what I mean? Notre Dame, every single game this season, has forced a turnover, at least one in every single game except for Northern Illinois. That was a loss. Now, I will say what Notre Dame was able to do against Penn State was this was the first game that they had lost the turnover battle and still won. I will say, because I mean, the only other one that they lost was Northern Illinois.
Right.
So what this offense was able to do is they were able to battle back from the crucial turnovers. But like I said, in the postseason, Notre Dame's turnover, I think, was the heaviest weighted. Like, it was the most impactful turnover of the game because it put them into field goal range right at the end of the game. So for me, this one is all about being able to, one, defense is going to have to keep that streak alive of forcing at least one turnover in, now this would be their 14th straight football game, right? So that it's going to be a massive importance. And offense is going to have to do a better job of taking care of the football. Riley Lane's going to have to make better decisions in the passing game in this.
Prize Picks is the best place to get real money sports action. With over 10 million members and billions of dollars in awarded winnings, Prize Picks has made daily fantasy sports accessible to all. You just pick more or less on at least two players for a shot to win up to 1,000 times your cash. Run your game all season long on Prize Picks. It's playoff time, and it's now or never. Don't miss out on the last few weeks of football action with Prize Picks, the best place to win cash while watching the playoffs. You can now win up to 1,000 times your money on Prize Picks. Prize Picks now offers MasterCard for quick and easy deposits into your account this sports season. This week on Prize Picks, I'm looking at the football board and selected Jared Goff for more than 230 passing yards and Saquon Barkley for more than one touchdown. Travis Kelce for more than 70 yards receiving, and Lamar Jackson for more than 250 passing yards. Download the app today and use code IRISH to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Download the app today and use code IRISH to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. Run your game.
I picked Notre Dame to beat Penn State by 10. And you picked Notre Dame to beat Penn State by, what was it, 14?
11. I think I had 17. Yeah.
And I remember you and I talking before the game about how if Notre Dame plays their game, I don't know that this game is going to be overly close. It'd be a good game, but I thought it could be a 31-17 game. Well, why was it a three-point game? What we just talked about. You lost a turnover battle. And Ohio State's better than Penn State. Why was the Penn State-Ohio State game even close? Because of Ohio State turnovers. Costly Ohio State turnovers. You throw a pick six on the first, you know, the first quarter. No, was it the first drive? Was it the first drive?
First of the offensive possession for Ohio State, they threw a pick six.
And then you also had the play where you're kind of starting to roll on Penn State and Will Howard fumbles the ball into the end zone. I mean, that, you know, now – your defense bailed you out a little bit with that interception in the end zone at the end of the first quarter. But the reality is turnovers allowed Penn State to stay in that game. That's exactly what happened when Notre Dame played Penn State. Bad turnovers that led to two Penn State touchdowns is really what caused that to be a game. And then some Notre Dame missed opportunities, which we'll get to here later in the show. But that's the big thing, Trev, is Ohio State will make you pay more than Penn State did if you play a similar game. This is like, look, Penn State's a really good football team. They're not Ohio State. They're not Notre Dame. Both of these teams played not very well against Ohio. If we're being honest, neither one of these offenses played very well against Penn State. Part of that's because Penn State's got a really good defense.
Yeah.
But part of that is because they committed turnovers that you're just like, dude, you can't make those kind of mistakes. Will Howard, you can't see that. You can't miss that nickel just sitting right there in the window. You got to see that, bro. You got to know that. You can't fumble ball into the end zone. And that's the same thing that happened in Notre Dame's turnovers. I mean, Penn State's kids made plays. I don't want to take anything away from them. But neither one of those balls should have been thrown, you know, and especially thrown where they were. So, you know, that's the thing I look at, Trev, is they were both able to weather that storm against Penn State. They're going to both have a tougher time weathering that storm against each other. And that's why the turnover battle is going to be so important in this football game.
Yeah, and both of the interceptions that Riley Leonard threw in the Orange Bowl were correctable mistakes, right? Sometimes quarterbacks throw interceptions because the DB just makes one heck of a play, right? But that wasn't my takeaways from Riley's two interceptions. Neither, to your point, neither of those passes should have been thrown. Will Howard against Penn State, that pass shouldn't have been thrown. That nickel was sitting on that. I mean, right. Literally the second he hit the top
of the He just made a pre-snap read and thought that the nickel was going to do something that he didn't, and he just bangs a slant right into him.
Yep. So it's correctable mistakes on both sides, but for Riley Leonard, those are very correctable, right? And to win this football game, they're going to have to not overcome losing the turnover battle. They just have to straight up win the turnover battle in this one. So I agree. Well, look, guys, that's going to do it for the overall key keys to victory for the team, but don't go anywhere. We still have offense to cover, defense to cover, and obviously we're going to do our predictions, hand out some game balls at the end of this one. So before we get to that, be sure to hit that like button, hit that subscribe button, hit the notification bell, and share this podcast with your friends and family. And like I mentioned at the start of the show, the best way to support what we do here at Irish Breakdown is to subscribe to the premium message boards at boards.irishbreakdown.com.